I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed. And that man
I've
who's
just spilled tea all over my hand.
Oh dear, is
groin.
Which is worse?
What, in what watch is damaged?
Yeah.
I can't use either of them forever now.
Oh, no.
I sound quite brave, but literally, my hand and the left area of my groin.
Why were they so close to each other?
My hand was on. Spill. No, it wasn't actually on my ear, it was to the left, and this spill was over.
This is Merrick Larwood, by the way, new listeners. The man who has spilt tea on his hand.
The spill went over my hand, and as my fingers were parted, it seeped through the fingers onto the area to the left of my groin.
Do you want some ice? Do you want some cold water over it?
No, it was the initial
shock.
Shock, I think, really. And now it just feels a bit wet.
All right, well, as long as you're all right, can you continue the podcast?
Well, I'll try my best, but please bear that in mind, listeners. I've severely injured myself.
Yeah, before you judge Marek's performance, please bear in mind he does have a soggy crutch.
You think it's even more incoherent today than usual, because I've just got... I mean, what's... Are they third degree's better than... Worse than second... First degree's the worst, Burns, isn't it? Or third degree?
It's a good question, and I don't know the answer to it.
And why is there only 2 degrees... There isn't a fourth degree burns, is there?
No, there's 3 degrees of burns. Gold, silver and bronze.
So what is worse, third degree burns?
Third degree, I think, is worst.
I have got 5th degree burns.
My God, you've just turned into a gas. Your crotch has just instantly evaporated.
Maybe it's the way to become a superhero.
What, just burn yourself?
Spill tea on yourself.
Well, lots of superheroes gain their powers through means that would otherwise just kill a man.
Tea dick. Well, what if now I just piss tea?
I mean, you'd be a lesser superhero, wouldn't you?
Well, not really, mate.
I mean,
think how many people drink tea in this modern age.
Yeah, but that's more an entrepreneur than a superhero, isn't it? I mean, you don't solve a lot of crimes pissing tea.
Well, I donate all the money.
From your tea piss?
Yeah.
Do people want to drink tea that's been in your cock?
I don't like that word.
Sorry. Do people want to drink a hot beverage that's been in your cock?
I don't like that word.
Sorry. Do people want to drink a hot steaming beverage?
Oh, I don't. No, because I'm tea man.
You're tea man, okay.
Which means
Mr. T?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been done then.
It has been done. It didn't come up in the show, but that was his power.
What, he could piss tea?
He pissed tea, yeah. It's why he drank so much milk.
Of course.
Yeah, because he's Mr. T.
And it's one of those things so obvious when you realise.
Yeah.
Oh,
and he'd already made so much money from selling his tea, that's why he had all that gold. It all made sense. We're not here to talk about Mr. T, or indeed penises with any special abilities. We're here to talk about films. And before we do, we should mention that we're sponsored by Her Film Project, who are an organisation that help promote diversity in films. So if you are interested in such things, you'd like to hear more about it, or in fact you think they could help you, then go to herfilmproject.com and follow Her Film Project on Twitter.
Here's a question for you.
Mm.
If I'm a superhero,
yeah,
like T-Man,
yeah,
and I want to make a film,
mm,
with the recent... what's the word for everywhere?
Omnipresence
of superhero films.
Mm.
am I available? Would I be able to get her film project?
Well, you're asking, are you still considered a minority, even though you are a superhuman? In the world of cinema, are you now the majority?
Yes.
I think as a real superhero, you might have a claim, because Paul Rudd does, to my knowledge, not possess any superpowers. For instance, his dick doesn't produce anything exciting at all.
Well, I don't know about that.
Nothing you could put on the shelves of Sainsbury's, anyway.
Well, what film did you go and see?
All right, you brought it up. You wanted to carry on the dick chat. Good character name, by the way.
Dick chat. My favourite character name from last week's episode.
Yes.
Smith Partman. The man who can't write. I wonder if he's emailed in again.
Yeah, I wonder if he has. Here's hoping. I'm looking forward to our next message from Smith Partman.
It's a good name, Smith Partman.
It's an excellent name. You asked what film I went to see.
Yes.
I went to the cinema to go and see the sequel to a film that I enjoyed the first time around. It was a surprise. It was a good surprise. And this is Kingsman 2. It's not called that. It's called Kingsman the Golden Circle. But
I really enjoyed the first one as well.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's good. The reason it's good, really, is it's a film by Matthew Vaughn, who did Kick-Ass X-Men First Class and Stardust as well, all of which are excellent. I think there's that one line at the end of the first Kingsman film that puts a lot of people off it because it seemed like a real error in judgment,
totally unnecessary. Yeah. Really sexist
line about bum sex.
It's really demeaning as well. Yeah.
Well, he's overcompensated in this film. The sequel to it carries on, you know, with young Eggsy, still a Kingsman now.
Shall we explain what Kingsman is?
Kingsman
about?
Is basically spies. So Kingsman is a tailor's on Savile Row, but it's the front for a spy organisation who help protect the British Empire, and they're besuited men represented by Colin Firth, basically, who have gadgets for glasses and umbrellas and watches.
A Bond cover version, really.
Pretty much. It's basically Danger Mouse with humans. And in Kingsman the Golden Circle, they interact with their American counterparts that they didn't know existed, who are called the Statesmen, who operate behind a Kentucky bourbon company called Statesman Kentucky Bourbon. And they are Channing Tatum, Halle Berry, Jeff Bridges, and the actor from Game of Thrones, whose name I can't remember. He is called...
Smith Parkman.
And what's his name? You know the man. He plays the thing. Pedro Pascal. He plays the Dornish Prince guy. You know the one I mean. You don't watch that show, do you?
Yeah, I do watch Game of Thrones.
I'm completely blanking on what his character was called. The Viper, the one who gets killed by the mountain.
Whoa!
Everyone knows now.
Anyway, I've seen the latest series, so don't.
Anyway, what I was saying was him with Matthew Vaughn entirely overcompensating for that final line in the first one. Is that the actress playing that princess is back, and she is in a long-term, committed, loving relationship with Eggsy. And it all worked out all right for them. So it wasn't just using her as an object. That he definitely had deep feelings for this woman he didn't know at all. So she is his romantic interest in it, but they're in a committed relationship. And it revolves around a character played by Julianne Moore called Poppy, who is the world's number one drug dealer. And she has a...
opium, is it must be, is it? That's what the Poppy thinks.
Well, that's the reference, yeah. But everyone in this has sort of code names, basically. So all of the Kingsmen are named after Arthurian characters from the Knights of the Round Table. All of the Statesmen are named after drinks. And she's called Poppy. But she's got a world-dominating plan... in a sort of high camp Austin Powers way, just in the way that Samuel L. Jackson did in the first one.
Elton John's in it.
Elton John is in it a lot. You know when musicians have a cameo, it's usually for like one shot or one scene. Elton John's in about four scenes, and he's good. He's funny, and he's playing himself. Basically, Elton John has been kidnapped by Poppy in order to play music in a theatre for her constantly, and he's really grumpy and sweary the whole time. It's quite good. This is more of the same. If you like Kingsman, you'll like it. There's some odd moments. Like, I think they had some scheduling conflict, and it's odd when you can see scheduling conflict on the big screen.
Explain what you mean by scheduling conflict to people.
Basically, Channing Tatum is on all the posters. Channing Tatum, he's a big star, and he is the first guy they meet in The Statesman, and you go, he's like their number one statesman. He's like Colin Firth of the Americans. And then about a third of the way through the film, he basically gets out of action for entirely unplot relevant reasons, and immediately they introduce Pedro Pascal as another statesman who carries on the story, and at the very end Channing Tatum comes back and hasn't done anything or changed anything already. I think Channing Tatum was unavailable, but they still wanted him on the posters. So it's a bit weird. It drags a bit at the beginning. It's overly long, this film. And it's got some very gaping plot holes and stuff. But it's daft and it's fun. And it's exactly what, you know, you'd expect from a Kingsman sequel, really.
It's not as good as the first version.
Well, the first one's so tight, I think. You know, the story of a working-class British kid becoming an upper class establishment protector of the status quo.
At least there's a story.
That underpins all of the campness and the exaggerated world that they live in. This one doesn't have a heart-to-heart story that's affecting at all. It just seems like going through the motions. So all of the rest of the ride is there, the fights and the world they've created. It's all quite fun. But it's just got less substance to it, and it perhaps takes it a little too far to not be quite as believable. There really is very little difference between this and Austin Powers in terms of the world they've created. Only Austin Powers gags all the time, and this one doesn't quite. But no, it's enjoyable. It's a ride. You know,
the fight scenes I seem to remember quite good in the last one. Were they quite good in this?
Very well shot. Yeah, no, they are excellently shot. They reach again sort of further levels of superhuman preposterousness in what people are capable of, which it was getting to the point of in the sort of final act of the first one. You know, it was, but you know, absolutely impossible jumps and twists and, you know, flips and stuff.
Yeah.
No, it's fun. It's fun. Michael Gambon's in it as well.
Is it true that you can't remember any of his lines now? She says and repeated to him.
It's quite possible. I haven't heard that.
Oh, I heard that. I'll just spread that rumour, shall I?
Yeah, just spread that. Spread it around.
Put it all over your face.
Yeah. Do you think you'll watch Kingsman?
Well, I was put Circle? Off because it had... I mean, the reviews have been quite bad for it.
Have they?
Yeah, so like the Metacritics give it
44.
Yeah, whereas People have given it 7.3.
Right.
So it might be that thing that splits the critics from humanity as usual.
Well, yeah, well, because there's not a great amount to critically laud, you know? It's more of the same. They've already taken all of their risks and got it right the first time, and now they've made another one. And that's sort of all right, and it's a popcorn film, you know, that's what it is.
How many days would you give it?
I think I'd give it 6. It's thoroughly enjoyable, but there's not a lot to it.
Go and sit with your mum.
Yeah, well, there's the whole... They've tried to have their gross out bit, and that again feels really tacked on and cheap.
Like, go and sit with your aunt.
No, that would be creepy.
Go and sit with your cousin.
Yeah.
Go and sit with your friend.
Yeah.
Go and sit with your friend.
Yeah. Julianne Moore is excellent, actually. I really like her as a villain. It's good to see. She's properly menacing.
She's always really good, though,
isn't
she?
Yeah, she is.
Okay.
And Elton John is good. Like, genuinely, that is the biggest takeaway from this, was he was funny in a musician cameo.
Okay. Well done, that one, John.
Yeah, well done him. He just swears all the time like a sort of, like a grumpy old woman.
Well, exactly how he probably is in real life.
Exactly, but that's why it felt so good. Rather than trying to make himself seem awesome, he just made himself seem like a prick.
Yeah, that's good though.
Yeah, no, it is excellent.
So if you like Elton John, go and watch The Kingsman.
Absolutely. It's one of Elton John's best films. Right, I think it's time for this.
Some people are writing letters, we like reading them out. Well, here's our last letter.
Oh no, before what?
Before the letters run out.
Oh no.
And what better subject could you write about than Bumming Man? For new listeners and recent listeners, Bumming Man is a film that I thought of about 2 years ago, which is a sort of varying plot. And it promises
a varying genre as well.
Yeah, it promises to be one of the greatest films of all time that would never get made. But Tom Crowley, a friend of the show, has written in with a Bumming Man pitch. Hello, David Merrick, buddy. Our Sorted Police Cars and Arsehole Dogs. Pitch for an action sequence in the Bumming Man feature.
Oh, interesting.
The bad guy, what was his name? Dick Pantsdown, I suppose.
Dick Pantsdown.
What was his name?
I think it was.
Peter Pantsdown.
Peter Pantsdown.
The bad guy has constructed an enormous doomsday device which promises to destroy Britain, plus some of the continent, Netherlands, Le Havre, etc. The clock reads 2 minutes and nobody knows what to do. Suddenly, a bomb disposal operative discovers that the device's only weakness is a kill switch hidden in its exhaust port. A small tight aperture around the back. A couple of slim-fingered coppers try to reach in, but no dice. Who could penetrate the tiny rear vent? Cut to the Bumming Man. Hang on. Cut to the Bumming Man enjoying a latte and some scrambled eggs in a fashionable Soho cafe. His phone rings. He answers. A look of cold determination crosses his face. I'm on my way. He slams a ten on the table and bolts out the door, calling thanks Doris to the hairy knuckle proprietor as he goes. His phone has finally come. No pun intended. Keep watching the film. Tom Crowley.
Wow, it's exciting.
Well, you're insinuating
he's going to bum the bomb.
And he's got really small...
Bum the bomb.
He's got really small pin dick.
Are you offended by the idea that he's got a...
Well, it depends
really
if I'm playing...
He doesn't... Not necessarily small, no. It's just thin.
Thin.
Could be really
depends
long.
Depends if I'm playing... Thin. Could be, yeah. Could be literally 8 foot long.
Incredibly thin. Like pasta.
Yeah, but I think if the bumming man was like that, you'd call him pasta dick.
You're right. The bumming wouldn't be the main
bumming
feature.
Man, it's all about the...
The technique.
The pace, the rhythm.
Yeah. Yeah. And the stamina.
Stamina. And commitment. And finish.
And eye contact.
Eye contact and also fish hooking.
Does he?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, I don't know.
Horrible.
Oh, it sounds.
Well, I mean, that's probably lost us our sponsorship.
Oh, possibly. Well,
that's the. I mean, that's the only letter.
What do you think, Marek? Are you going to put that in the film?
The Bumming Man. I need to go back and draw upon all these resources and notes that people have sent in, and then to probably burn them all and start again.
Right. Right.
Maybe it should be a rom com or just a romance.
It does sound romantic.
It could be, you know, but a. It's set in sort of the 18th century or something. About an academic who's a frustrated academic who falls in love.
With?
Bums.
With bums. Falls in love with all bums.
Yeah.
But all bums do not love him back.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, it's a sad story for our times.
Well, I'll have a think about it.
Yeah, do. Well, you've seen a film, haven't you?
Yes, I've seen a film I'm looking forward to. There's a sort of movement of British comedians who are in a group called the Ealing Live Sex. Before I started doing comedy, you may not know, David and I come from the comedy world originally. Anyway, people like Alice Lowe, who made Prevenge, and...
Yeah, Alice Lowe's probably, arguably, doing the best out of them. Yeah, but she also made...
Sightseers with Steve Oram, yeah.
Steve Oram's a very good actor, I think.
Yeah,
I don't think he gets enough.
A very nice, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, another nice man is a man called, who I bumped into on occasion, called Gareth Tunley, and this is his first feature. It's called The Ghoul, and it stars Tom Meaton, Alice Lowe, Rufus Jones, Paul Kaye's in it, Wayne Shepherd does the music, Dan Skinner's in it, Rachel Stubbings is in it, a lot of British sort of actors. So yeah. I think the budget for this was probably, I mean, I read they got six or seven grand budget, not much at all.
Is that it?
I think they got some, I don't know exactly what it was, but I know it wasn't very much. So it's a film on done on a shoestring budget. And it stars Tom Meaton is this detective, and there's a double murder takes place. And it's linked to a psychotherapist and the bloke who runs a flat. So he decides to go undercover and visit the same psychotherapist that people have been seeing, and it gradually becomes embroiled in the psychotherapy session. And it changes. It's basically a tale of an unreliable narrator.
Right.
Or unreliable protagonist, where you realise that he might not be a detective after all, that he's just fantasising he's a detective and he's actually a man undergoing psychotherapy.
But in so doing, is the psychotherapist beating him at this game?
Well, that's the thing. It's just, it feels very similar to Mother in a way. I watched a couple of weeks ago and I was very damning of.
You were, yeah.
Where it's, because it's sort of quite low budget and there's a lot of, sort of weird shots and sort of shots of London and quite dark and maybe not as much happens, and there's a quite weirdly atmospheric, you're sucked in into his nightmare basically and to his mind. So you're just brought into this bloke who may or may not be a detective. He's visiting these psychotherapists who are involved in witchcraft, and also there's his ex-girlfriend, who played by Alice Lowe, who also plays the sort of, she also works for the police force as a Dan Skinner, and in real life they're a girlfriend and his old friend who's now going out with her. So it's just lots of mixed narratives.
Right.
And it starts off, I thought, I don't know where this is, I thought this is just too muddled and confused, but as I watched more of it, I became more embroiled in it and I enjoyed it more. I think it's a really good exercise for, what I really liked about it is the cyclical nature of it, of sort of unwinding and tying these things up together. So the script, the premise was very clever.
Well, what it sounds like to me, and I've not seen it yet, I've wanted to for a long time as well,
yeah.
Since I first heard about it, but what they've done with having no money is crammed it full of interesting ideas which cost nothing. You know,
yeah,
actually tried to make it unique, its own thing.
Yeah, I think they had about 10 days or 5, hardly any time to film.
Right. Well, similar to Prevenge in that regard.
Yeah, and you can tell that there are lots of sort of shots of, you know, people walking and, you know, sort of moody London and people thinking.
It's very cheap to film people thinking.
Yeah, that's the thing. Just walk down there, we'll whack that in. So it feels as though it could have been 45 minutes.
Right.
But obviously with a feature, you need to over 70.
Pad it out with walking.
So it does feel a bit padded out. I don't know if it worked or not. I don't really want to rate it because I know the people in it. But I think it's very interesting for if you're thinking about making low budget films to see this as an example of what is good and what works, and what sometimes feels a bit too much like a low budget film.
Right.
Sort of moody shots of things. You can have many of those. But it's a great achievement to do. To that's the thing about making a film rather than writing a script. You know it's going to take about 2 years of your life. You got to film it, then you've got to edit it, and you've got, and the costs as soon as you start paying people.
Oh yeah, it's you in order to embark on making a film of any kind, be it a short one or a feature length one, you're basically starting a small business.
Yeah,
I mean it's as complicated.
about to think that the short film market, you can make short films, but there's no real... You're never going to make any money out of a short film.
No, they're calling cards for something bigger.
To get a feature. So why not just make a feature?
Yeah.
And then at least you can try and sell that. Whereas a short film is operates in this weird space where no one goes to see short films. They don't show them. They used to show them at the start of films at cinema. Instead, they're showing you. They realise we can show people half an hour of adverts instead. Which right. is a real shame. That's where short films should sit. And ideally, there'd be less adverts. There'd be a short film which someone would get a bit of money from.
Yeah.
And then the film. That would really help the film.
Well, Pixar does it, but only with their own work. They put a short before their film.
I think it should be done. It should be literally give 5% to that short film, or even 1% to a short film that plays at the start. And it would really help out new filmmakers.
Like a support actor with a band.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I think this is interesting. It feels quite dark. I don't know if it works totally. But I really love Jeffrey McGiven played a psychologist in it, a psychotherapist in it.
Right.
And he's so brilliant.
So watchable, isn't he?
His voice is amazing. He was in This Is Gen Z.
He's in Toast of London a couple of times as mad directors, as well as different mad directors.
I think he's absolutely brilliant in this. And that I think when he enters the film, it picks up. I think it needed a bit. It's very dark and moody. And I think it was a very dark and moody film.
It's easy to be low energy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not really grab people.
And then you feel as though, oh, right, this is quite depressing, and it feels a bit relentless. And he comes in, it's a breath of fresh air into the film, and sort of picks it up a bit. And then I really enjoyed it from then on in.
Right.
It took a while to get to that point. I thought the energy was almost too relentlessly bleak.
A bit under the skin in that regard early on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Similar sort of moody shot, urban shots of an isolated person.
Yeah. Maybe it's the time of year when you watch films as well. Sometimes when you're watching films as winter's approaching as it is now.
Yeah.
And you sort of feel these, when you see these sort of desolate London skylines and just everything's quite bleak, you just feel a bit like, oh, God, I think I'm going to shoot myself. So I think when it is a drama and a thriller, and it's got all these comedians in it. And I think if it had a little bit more lightness at times, because you've got these brilliant comic actors
who aren't really lending their greatest talent.
Well, they're good. I mean, Rufus Jones is great as a sort of weird person in it, but with a bit of humour in there, as when Jeff McGiven came on, it really lifted it. That could have lifted the film. Anyway, as a low budget film, and a sort of comparison piece to Mother, which I think this is much better than. It's an interesting watch, so watch out for Gareth Tunley and The Ghoul. I watched it for, I think it's on YouTube, for £3.50 or something.
Yeah, streaming services for the usual £3.49 or whatever it is these days. Track it down, The Ghoul, and let us know what you think. Go to filmfandango.com and tell us your thoughts. Also, if you'd like to talk to us about anything at all, go to the same place, filmfandango.com. That's it for this week, isn't it, I think?
All right, then.
Yeah, that's enough. Right?
Yeah.
We've talked about two films.
I'm feeling poorly now.
You are feeling a bit poorly. You're sounding a bit bunged up, Merrick. So shall we end it there?
Yes, please.
Well, that'll do. But we'll be back next week with yet more films. So see you then.
Keep,
in the meantime,
keep
watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.